Is making money unfeminine? If you support a man with your money, does it emasculate him? Will he cheat on you? Will he lie? Is it foolishness? Ooh, it's going to be a good conversation. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the Iconic Womanhood Podcast, where we celebrate and learn from the wisdom of authentic, brilliant, conscious, and creative women from all around the world. This podcast will leave you inspired, empowered, and equipped to become truly iconic. And now, here is your host, Akenna. She is a transformational coach and speaker.
Hello, everyone. It's been a minute, but I'm here, and so are you. And for that, we should give thanks. I do apologize for not being as consistent as I would like. I have been very consistent on our Instagram platform. So if you're not following me on Instagram, I invite you to do that. It's at iconicwomanhood_coach. And I do a lot of lives and things like that. And so I'd love to connect with you there. We will continue to be on the podcast, but to be honest, it may from time to time take a little hiatus, okay? But I do want to give you a little announcement before I get into today's topic. And today's topic is, I think, kind of juicy. I want to talk about femininity, wealth, and the case study, the fabulous case study that is everybody's favorite auntie, Tabitha Brown. Well, everyone here in the US, Tabitha Brown, because I know we have a lot of listeners who are not from the US. So I'll tell you all about that in a minute. But first, the announcements. Okay. We have a new series. I'm going to have a new conversation series that we're starting in, actually, we're starting it this Sunday. And we're going to have a number of Sundays, not every single Sunday, but for most of the Sundays, we're going to be inviting women from across the diaspora to join us in conversation. And I'm going to be doing it on Instagram Live. And we're doing it there first because that allows us to take questions. You know, it allows us to have some engagement. And then we will attempt to download. I say attempt because I'm not handling the tech, but I've been told it's very possible and we're going to do that. Download the audio and post it. It will likely be both on our YouTube channel and on this podcast channel as well, so that you can participate if you miss it live. But I would encourage you to join us live. And like I said, if you're not following me, you really should, because then you'll get the notifications. We also want to engage more with you guys. I so appreciate each and every one of you. You know, I meet so many amazing people that listen to this podcast. It's incredible how many people from all across the world, from the US, from Nigeria, from South Africa. It's just amazing. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you. You know, because when we record our podcasts, it's one way, right? And so I don't always have the opportunity to feel your energy right then, but I get your messages and they touch me and I'm so grateful for you. So thank you. I do want to take this time to ask as well that you do something for me. I would love it if you could leave a review if you haven't done so already. If you could leave a rating, a star rating, if you haven't done so already. And if you could share this podcast, share the love. Loving is sharing. Sharing is caring. All right. Thank you so, so much. And well, let's get into today's topic. Today's topic is femininity, wealth, and I'm going to use a case study of my BFF in my friend. What did my BFF in my friend? Lord, help me. Okay. My BFF in my head, Mrs. Tabitha Brown. Mrs. Tabitha Brown, her handle, I believe, is I Am Tabitha Brown. And so if you go check her out on Instagram, for those of us here in the US, we've just kind of fallen in love with her. She is an influencer, a vegan influencer. That's kind of how she came up. I've been following her for many years, actually. I can't remember when I first discovered her, but it was before she blew up to this level. She was already quite popular. She had a little bit of a cult following, and I use the word cult loosely. She had a little bit of a following when I found her on Facebook. She was primarily on Facebook at the time. Perhaps she was on Instagram, but, you know, when I found her Instagram, a lot of us were still very much on Facebook and not really on Instagram. And she would do these videos where she would be sharing vegan meals she was preparing. At the time that I came to know her, she was trying to get her husband to go vegan as well, and kind of her household. So she was sharing her story of why she went vegan, and she was just sharing her family with us. And what I fell in love with was how loving she was to her family, and the way their family seemed to be joyful, and you know, they just were like that American family that you always think about when you idealize, right? They just seemed regular. They had a regular home. They were happy. They had a dog, Blackie. You know, it's kind of like the Cosby Show, except they weren't kind of professionals. Her husband was a police officer, and let me not say it. The word professionals, that wasn't the right word. They weren't upper middle class, right? They were working class, middle class. And they felt very relatable. And they talked about their journey. And what we loved about Tabitha, what I particularly loved about her, my first thing that I loved was how much she loved her family. And she just showed affection. And she is a very feminine woman. The second thing I loved about her was that she was a woman with a dream. And she was a very spiritual woman, and she was not afraid to go after her dreams. She had moved from North Carolina, and they were from a small town in the country. And so she sounds very Southern. She's a Southern belle all the way. They moved from a small town in North Carolina to Los Angeles because she had had a dream in her, a conviction, very much like Joseph the Dreamer, right? A conviction that she was going to make it big in entertainment, in Hollywood. And she wanted to be an actress and all of this. And she had a conviction within her. And Chance, her husband, was her high school sweetheart. Their story is so adorable, really. They've been dating since, I think, the sixth grade or something along those lines. They had a little break in transmission, which is a very funny part of their story. They share it often. And they've been dating for a long time. They've known each other for a long time, grew up in the same small town. It is a beautiful story. And Chance decided, you know, to support his wife, and they moved. They left everything they knew. So he left for her. It wasn't his dream, it was her dream. But as a husband will do, he left and he moved to California to help his wife, to support her in pursuing her dreams. And part of why he became a police officer was so that he could hold down the family and there could be good regular income coming in while his wife pursued this dream of Hollywood. And one of the things they said, they were recently featured on the docuseries Black Love on OWN, and they shared this story. I've heard this story multiple times because I follow them. I used to watch their show. They used to have a show called Fridays with Tab and Chance. Used to watch this show all the time. And quite honestly, let me take a little detour before I tell you about this part. That show they would have every Friday, I used to live for it. I'll tell you, I used to watch it all the time, to the point my daughter would walk in and say, "Is that Tabitha Brown?" And I would just watch them interact. And there was a time in my life, like a few, you know, some years back, it was challenging, right? There were some challenging personal things going on. And they brought me so much joy just watching them. I would watch her. She had another show on Mondays or Tuesdays, I can't remember, where she highlighted people's small business owners' products. And she did that show with her daughter. And just the way that they connected. And, you know, family for me is one of my highest values. So just watching this family, watching this husband and wife interact, and they were so clearly partners and friends and lovers, it was beautiful to see. So they talked about how when they moved, money was tight. So he took this job as a police officer, and he took the job to support them. And she had said to him, babe, you know, give me 5 years, and then I'll be able to retire you. And I can just imagine that conversation, right? Because it's such a wonderful thing for someone to say, I'm going to hold it down. And not only am I going to hold it down, I'm going to do it. You know, this isn't my dream. It's one thing when I say, oh, I'm doing my dream, I'm living my dream, and I have enough money to hold us down. But it's another thing when it's, listen, I'm just going to take a job to make sure that we are okay. Now, it seems, of course, being a police officer is very noble. He enjoyed being a police officer. Of course, it's not without great risk, of course, right? But, you know, I'm sure he didn't hate it. He did a good job. He showed up every day, did what he needed to do. But it was such a wonderful act of sacrifice. Now, fast forward 15 years later. It took her 15 years, right? She has been blessed. She is being blessed, and she will continue to be blessed in Jesus' name, right? She has been on television shows. She's been on, drama series. She now has a seasoning coming out under her name. She has a hair care product, a hair care line. She has endorsements left, right, and center. You know, she's doing well. She's doing very well. The dream has come to pass. The vision, though it tarried, has come to pass. And I believe as part of sharing this testimony and saying thank you to God, she announced on social media, because, you know, that's how she came to all of this influence. She used her social media platform. She announced that she was going to retire her husband. So she, and it was a beautiful announcement. You should really go watch it. It wasn't with any arrogance. It was beautiful. And just saying, you know, I'm so thankful that she mentioned how she had always been concerned about, you know, the risk. And I can just imagine it, because I've always said, while I honor police officers and you know, I've met quite a number of amazing police officers, I remember when I was single, I would say, nope, can't date a police officer or a fireman, because I would be overwhelmed with stress for concern for their lives every single day. And she talked about that, how, you know, she was so grateful that she had talked to him and said, you know, Chance, it's time to let go of this and now go pursue your own dreams. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I'm able to do work that allows that, right? Now, that's, for me, when I watched that, I think I cried, actually. But don't be surprised, I'm a crier, right? I cried. And it was, to me, it was just love in action. It was what marriage should be. It's partnership, it's support, it's love. But what came next, I was a little bit surprised. Now, by and large, most people, I think, feel similar to me, right? It was a beautiful act of love, it's what marriage should be. But there are quite a few people who feel the opposite. Notably, Wendy Williams, because she has a very large platform, she made a comment, and it was interesting because she said, I don't know who this woman is. And I'll just say this sidebar. It's not a good practice to comment on people you don't even know. You don't even know their story. It's wise not to comment at all. But she commented, as is what she does. Anyway, that is the work that she has decided to do. So she commented on Tabitha Brown without knowing her story and said, oh, I think that's a mistake. I think she made a negative prediction over her life, which we've all canceled, right? That marriages that do things like this fail. And then she went ahead to project and said, you see what happened with me, you know, because for her situation, the man that she was married to, while she was the one, the breadwinner, he cheated on her. He ended up leaving her for some other woman. And some other things, right? So it was clearly a very negative and painful situation. And my heart goes out to Wendy for that. But that being said, she had really no business projecting her experience on someone else. And then Tabitha responded in a way that is uniquely Tabitha, right? With all of the Southern charm and with the love of God, right? In a beautiful, loving way that took Tabitha's platform, I believe, gave her even more influence, because people that had never even heard of her, they were posting, people were posting this prayer, because what she did was she prayed for Wendy. She said, I pray you find a love like this, essentially, right? And I pray that you are released from this level of pain, because it is pain that drives someone to do something like that. Now, Wendy was not the only one commenting, though, because it was interesting to me that I started to see think pieces about this whole scenario. And many, one person actually had said that, in her opinion, Tabitha was being unfeminine, because she was taking the masculine role of bringing in money. Now, I know that this is a very traditional view for many people. And I was asked about it actually by a couple of people, because I teach on feminine energy and womanhood. And so I wanted to kind of talk about it a little bit. I actually had shared my thoughts on some social media statement, and someone commented after my comment and attempted to argue with me. I don't argue with strangers, so I didn't argue, but and I ignored the comment because it was also quite rude. But she made mention, she used this word, she called Tabitha a masculina, which I had not heard before. And then somewhere else I had seen someone saying, oh, he's about to become, this is to about her husband, a simp. And I guess this is another word that isn't commonly known, because the first time I saw it, I had to go look it up. A simp, I guess, is supposed to refer to a man who is nurturing, who is loving to his wife, who is very caring, who seeks after his wife's happiness, who serves. And the ideology that has brought forth this concept of a simp, because when you hear the definition, you're like, well, what's wrong with that, right? But the ideology is that being this alpha male kind of messaging that is very prevalent, this idea of masculinity being a very dominant and a real man takes charge and all of that. And listen, a real man does, lead, right? But leadership does not look like domination. I mean, Jesus was a leader and he washed the feet of his disciples. But let's get back to this, okay? Maybe, I'm quick to bring in a Bible verse. I'm quick to bring in Jesus, but just let's stay here for now. And then we can bring Jesus in, right? But because this, even just from a practical perspective, before we bring in the spiritual, I just want to talk about it. And the masculina, so I went to look that up, is this masculine woman, a woman who doesn't know how to be a woman, who is masculine. It's a negative, it's a deeply, it's a denigrating term. Ay, ay, ay. So when I read it, and the woman who was even throwing it out there and just saying, you don't understand, I'm trying to put you on game. She actually used that terminology. I'm trying to put you on game. Women like you, you go out there and you get used and abused. I'm trying to put you on game. I said, okay. That's one of the reasons why I didn't bother engaging, because you can't educate somebody that doesn't even have the same understanding or a level of understanding. Love is not a game. First of all, before we talk about feminine and masculine, let's talk about love. The unfortunate thing is that so many of us have been so wounded and damaged and hurt by love, or what we thought was love, relationships. So whether we were hurt in our own relationships, or we saw our parents being hurt, or people around us being hurt, we've been so hurt that people have stopped really believing in love. They have. That's why you hear someone mentioning put you on game in the same sentence as a husband and a wife. A husband and a wife relationship is not supposed to be, that should not require being on game. That relationship is the relationship that is most closely supposed to mirror our relationship to God, right? Our relationship to, you know, Jesus and the church. It is not a game. It's not gamified. It's not about winning. Because when you think about a game, it's like who's winning and who's losing. And that's what's causing this sort of unbalanced view of masculinity and femininity, because it's creating an adversarial way of looking at us, right? And so it's saying, well, you know, you got to be on game because you got to do this. If you don't do this, because that's fear-based thinking. If you, you know, you're supporting him to go pursue his dreams, oh, watch and see. He's going to, you know, she said he's going to punish her by cheating on her or doing XYZ because he's going to feel emasculated. Again, coming from a place of fear. Now, let me acknowledge this. I understand what she was saying. I understand where she was coming from, in that there are many women who have supported men's dreams. And at the end of the day, when he makes it big, he becomes contemptuous. He becomes, you know, disrespectful, and he may very well go and supposedly, maybe using this term, replace her, right? Because I don't like that term, because you're never replaceable. You're irreplaceable, okay? He may get another woman, but he can never get another you. You can't be replaced. So he may go out there and try to find someone younger or pretty, whatever it is that, you know, floats his boat. It happens, but that is not an issue. That is not, the problem there is not that the model is broken. It's that the people in the model are broken. Okay. That's what's the problem. You can support the person you love's dreams. I mean, men have supported women's dreams and they've done the same thing. Again, it's not that supporting and loving and being there for the other person, even sacrificially, is terrible. It's that the people we're broken and wounded, and perhaps sometimes we're not aware enough, we're not wise enough, we haven't done our own work in order to be discerning enough to know when you are casting your pearls towards swine. There are some people that, yes, they can't handle this sort of support. They can't. I mean, quite honestly, think about it. There's some people that if you even just compliment them, they can't handle it. There's some people that if you show them respect, they start to think that they are superior to you because they've never experienced what respect really looks like. They're broken people, and it happens. And we all have brokenness, but you can choose to stay in a state of brokenness, which is when you become a broken person, or you can heal. So it is not the issue, it's not the model that's broken, it's the people. I used a metaphor to think about it. Let me share this with you. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I said, think about this. If you invest, and the investment doesn't pan out, is investing bad, or did you make a bad investment? You don't say investing is bad. You say, okay, this particular investment was bad. Maybe I need to do more due diligence next time. Maybe I need to think differently about what I'm investing in. But you don't say investing as a whole is bad, clearly. The stock market has been up and down. People lose money in the stock market, but people still invest in the stock market because it works. It works. You have to do it with more wisdom and understanding, but it works. Same thing. This is not new. Men and women have been supporting each other in marriages. That is what marriage really should be like for centuries. It's not today this started. She's not the first, and she's not going to be the last. And some people have success with it because they have good partners and others don't. The other thing that I think is really important to note again, that not every person who's married is a husband or a wife. I've said this multiple times. Not every man who is married is a husband. Not every man who is married is a husband. And so I want to go back to the case study of Tabitha Brown. And then I want to talk about Tabitha herself and how you can learn from her as far as how to acquire wealth, how to increase your impact, your influence, and your income. But let's talk about the relationship really briefly before we go into that. Tabitha's husband moved for her. She wanted to go to California to pursue her dreams. He left everything he knew to be there for her. They've mentioned that they had their struggles at the beginning of the relationship. So it wasn't like some sort of fantasy. They worked through some hard things. They worked through not having enough money. He got a job to support his family. He provided, he protected. He was there for her. He facilitated this. He facilitated this. And I watched them for years before she blew up. He was part of the success because even without even thinking of the protecting and the providing, I told you, I watched them every Friday. He would be on there with her. They had a show together, Fridays with Tab and Chance. That was part of growing her influence. All of those things led to this. So the success is not just hers, it's theirs. He has been very much a part of her story because her brand is a family brand. So clearly, their case is different. Their case is different. So if you know someone who is steeped in bitterness over something that didn't work like this, release it. If you're steeped in bitterness, release it. If you know someone who is, pray for them to release it because they are missing out on love. There are some people who have now, whether they know it consciously or unconsciously, in fact, a lot of women that I talk to, whether through the internets or whether they speak to me directly, right? We don't know that we have an unconscious fear. A lot of times when you're not attracting love and you are, you know, positioned and all the things that you are doing, or you keep attracting a particular type of person. And I know there's some people that really get upset when people like me say this, you know, because it feels like blaming. It's not blaming. Because if you keep attracting users and narcissists and people like that, there is something happening that is worth looking at. And it's not victim blaming, never. But it is giving you back your power. Because if you feel powerless, then you don't, you know, you can't unpack what's going on. Like, I need to unpack what's happening so that I can position myself differently, so I can make sure that I do not continue to put myself in these situations. I need to figure out what is going on. I know within me I have the power. So this isn't about blaming or shaming. This is about giving back power. And I've had to do this myself in my life. I've shared with you all, if you've been following my podcast for a while, how before I did my work, I had a lot of relationships in my life, both platonic and I had romantic relationships that were unbalanced. And that's putting it nicely, right? Where people took, you know, I didn't feel like I was treated fairly or well, not fairly, that's not the right word, with love, quite honestly. People would take pot shots and you know, just different disrespects. And there was some toxicity there. But it was until I did my internal work to say, okay, because it was easy enough to say those people are all this, that, and the other. They may or they may not be. I chose not to focus my energy on them. I chose to focus my energy on me and say, well, what are the things that I need to put in place, one, to make sure they don't happen again, but I want to go into the depth of my heart and understand what's going on. And one of the things I found was I had a subconscious belief of not being lovable that had been imprinted in me right from when I was very, very, very young. And I had to really go into that and unpack that. And that subconscious belief showed up in me not being able to open myself up to people who genuinely cared. And I found myself, because attraction is two ways. It's not just the people who come to you, because yes, when you have a little wounding, because people who are predatory, and whether they see themselves as that or not, people who are takers tend to be attracted to givers. People who, you know, want to feel superior tend to be attracted to people who have inferiority. So, you know, they come, but there's also you being pulling them in as well. So often when I meet women who are saying, I only meet these kinds of people, they may have some really wonderful men waiting in the wings that they have friend zoned. And when you talk to them about those people, they're saying, oh no, I'm not attracted to him. And attraction is also a learned behavior, by the way. It's programmed as well. And so they have been programmed to associate virility and sexuality with a certain type of man. And so this kind of man that would be nurturing and loving and value them, they see him as boring or, he's not intriguing, because they have have a palette for certain behaviors that tend to be associated with this toxicity. This is the inner programming that you need to unpack. So it's so critical to do the unpacking, so that you are not subconsciously blocking love. This unpacking also relates to wealth, success. This is why it's the work that I do in my online course, the womanhood course, right? When you go to my website and you take the womanhood course, most women, I tell you, I get the most messages the first couple of months when they're taking the self-mastery piece and they start to do their unpacking. In the mastermind, the Iconic Woman Mastermind, where we go even deeper, because the womanhood course is for you, right? The Iconic Womanhood course is for you, but the mastermind is for leading. So I take you deeper because it's so critical that you unpack all this stuff, because you're going to be leading other people. And when you're leading other people, you don't want to project your stuff onto other people. When you have a platform, you don't want to project your pain and your trauma, right? It's so critical that you manage your ego, so that you don't become someone who is a purveyor of harm versus good, so that you don't become someone who is sitting on their pedestal condescending to others because you haven't done your ego work, so that people can give you advice and feedback and you can hear it without losing your mind. It happens when you haven't done that work. So unpacking the programming, you know, unpacking the programming. I remember having a conversation with someone, and it's so interesting because this conversation mirrored an experience I myself had had, and I was in her shoes just some years before. This is why it's not never coming from a place of judgment, but a place of awareness. I had deep empathy for her because I remember we were having this conversation, and there was something that she had done that was it wasn't good behavior, right? And good is not even the right word. It was hurtful behavior. That's a better word. Let me be impeccable with my words. It was hurtful. And she said, I'm not a bad person. But that was never the conversation. The conversation was that your behavior was hurtful. But because she had so closely tied behavior to identity, and she could not afford to look at herself, she didn't know how to unpack her behavior. She didn't know how to unpack it without losing, you know, understanding that your goodness, you're good. No one is talking about you being good or bad. We're talking about your behavior, right? But if you cannot look at your behavior from a lens of knowing you're good, and that lens of knowing you're good, this is why it's so, for me, being deeply grounded in my faith allows me to do my work. Because I know, because God is in me, I'm good. Not because of me, but because God is in me. So I'm not here trying to say, oh, my behaviors make me valuable. No, sometimes they may not be the best. And I have the opportunity to go back and say, wow, okay, we're not doing that again. I repent. But if you can't acknowledge that, it's impossible to repent. And I had been in those shoes before. And so you don't want to hear any criticism. You don't want to hear anything, and you will just push it and project it and say it's someone else's fault, and you won't address your own stuff. And so you say all men are this, all women are this, because we don't address our own stuff. We don't look at ourselves and say, well, maybe I need to take a different approach. So I'm just going to leave this part of the conversation here. Because I pray that we bring love all the way back in fashion. I pray that we are able to love freely. And if you've been hurt before, trust me, I've been hurt before more than once. And I am a testimony that hurt doesn't have to make you bitter. It can completely make you better. If you let the work work, and if you do the work, you have to intentionally decide to heal and unpack, and not just heal as in people think healing is really just about you're no longer sad, you're no longer overwhelmed by your emotions. But for me, healing is actually going in there and excising the tumors, the parts of me that were hindering me from living my best life. And so I'm going to ask those powerful questions. This is where healing, which can fall in the realm of therapy, which is not what I do, right? And coaching, which is this unpacking I'm talking about and saying, okay, what are my next steps? And moving forward powerfully can work very much hand in hand. And then the work that I do in the self-mastery component, actually the whole course, it's woven in, but it's very deeply done in the self-mastery component. You have an opportunity to really start asking some of those hard questions that will free you up, set you free, so that you can actually live the life of your dreams. It's possible, it's doable. There's nothing you cannot do. All things can you do through Christ. But it takes more than just saying it. It takes more than just going to church. You really have to be willing to get out of your own way and get that stuff out of you so that you can move forward. So I'm just going to encourage you to do your work. And for those of you that want to explore deeper work, that are called to leadership, I not only encourage you, oh my goodness, even if you don't do this work with me, I really want to tell you, please stop rushing into leadership or trying to get, and leadership is not just leadership, it's taking a leadership role in an organization, but being a mother is a leader, being a wife is a leader, wanting to make money is a leader, because you're going to lead without doing your work, because you need to do your work if you're going to be impactful, if you're going to be inspirational. Otherwise, you run the risk, and many of us have come up against toxic leaders. And please, you don't want to be a toxic leader. But if you don't do your work, you run the risk of it. It's not about being good or bad again. It's about dealing with the stuff that's been dealing with you. And life, you know, in this life, we have troubles. We live in a fallen world, so we have stuff that has been dealing with us. So just deal with that stuff. I invite you to. Now, let me begin to close with this conversation on what we can learn from Tabitha Brown's story. When I look at Tabitha's pathway to wealth, I smile, because it is literally a case study of leading with your feminine and how that brings wealth into your life. It is literally what I preach. It is, you know, a blown up version of some of the experiences I've had and successes I've had. And I'm just so proud of her. Tabitha's work is creativity, nurturing. Let's talk about it, right? So all the feminine traits, I had a class I just did actually called Leading with Your Feminine. And I've gotten so many requests about doing it again that I am considering doing it again. It's a short course. But I will say this, if you want to go deeper, it's actually one of the modules, the feminine intelligences in the womanhood course. It's actually a full module. I was going over it the other day with my team and I was like, this is so rich, at the risk of sounding narcissistic. Because someone had sent me a message about it and I went back to look at it and I thought, wow, okay, I really debriefed this in this. The feminine intelligences, the feminine energy traits, another way to look at this, intuition, creativity, transmutation, number of different things. She embodies a wealth pathway that comes from leading with your feminine. Because she does work that she loves. It doesn't, probably doesn't feel much like work, right? Maybe the acting, being on set and whatnot, but the endorsements, and there are a lot of women who are very wealthy doing exactly this. The endorsements, the, you know, she's making money being an influencer, right? And what is she doing? She's cooking, she's showing us her family, she's relating, right? She follows her intuition. She shared multiple times about how she felt like she needed to do this or needed to do that. She could tell this is her intuition. She's very spiritually intelligent, right? If you hear her origin story about how she got the awareness to move and that this was going to be her path, you'll know that she's been spiritually intelligent for a very long time. You know, she's very nurturing. That is 100% the thing that's one of her major unique value propositions. She is nurturing in a world that is not so nurturing. And in fact, where women even are not as nurturing anymore, because so many of us have confliction, we're conflicted around that. Because nurturing requires a measure of vulnerability. She's very vulnerable. She shows us her life. And that has all sort of come together for this glorious way to bring money in, so much so that she can retire her husband. And I want to encourage you, this is the work that I do. When we work in the mastermind, I say I help you get success with less stress. I don't believe it has to be a grind, and I don't believe in hustle. I see people hustling. I see people doing things. Sometimes I see people doing things that I find strange, or just kind of, you know, sleazy. Like, but I know where it's coming from. It's a desperation to be successful yesterday. But if you would just release, and the path of the feminine is surrender, flow, you tap into something greater than yourself. And so you don't have to grind. You're kind of going with the currents of life. Doesn't mean you don't work, but you don't grind. I don't work. I don't grind. I work. And I find that when I allow things to come, rather than trying to force things, one of the things I teach about in the mastermind is the difference between leading with power as a feminine being and leading with force. And this is transformative work, right? When you do this, oh my gosh, as a leader, it's a game changer. And how to bring nurturing back into your workplace, into your business, it's a game changer. So I really wanted to kind of highlight a few of these things. Obviously, I can't teach all of this in a podcast, but if you want to go deeper into this, if you want to go deeper, get the course, or certainly I would love for you to be one of the 25 women that I will work with personally in the Iconic Woman Mastermind. And we're enrolling now for the fall cohort. So I would encourage you to go apply right now. And then let's talk about it, shall we? Let's talk about it. But that being said, I'm so glad to come back and share with you again today. And I hope that you are inspired today. I hope you're inspired to love. I hope you're inspired to lead with your feminine, to explore all the things that you do naturally, and to know that abundance is your portion. Love is your portion. God bless you. Be well.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe and tell a friend. If you're listening to this show, it probably means you are ready to move from success into significance. Please visit us at iconicwomanhood.com and get a free gift to help you on your journey.